Funny, isn't it? Sighed Jack, being here alone. Snuggling up next to him, Jen nodded. She followed his gaze up to where she had known it would rest. Bridget's picture of herself, Jen and Jack. Jen's gift to Bridget on her last birthday. Her previous birthday. The first day of every November for the past 20 years, they had come to clean up the O'Dannon's house. First, just the two of them, Jen's brother Bobby, his wife Morgane, and Tony. Then with some of the greater Kamiyama clan. Then with spouses and children. People had slowly drifted away after a few years. Until the previous year, it had been back to just her and Jack, Bobby, Morgane, and the two last children at home, Bobby and Morgane's, Brendan, and Jen and Jack's own youngest, Cynthia. Cynthia Bridget. Cynthia and Brendan were 2 months into their first year away at the school now. Cynthia's letters home were still giddy, but they'd already begun to come more and more sporadically. The mountain. Would Jen ever think of the school without thinking of it burning? Without thinking of the ridiculous image of Jack facing down Chancellor spires? Flame and shadows, smoke and sulfur. Morgane and Bobby had begged off this year. Morgane had had a conference in Buenos Aires, and Bobby had explained sheepishly that, with the kids all gone now, it was their first chance for a real trip, a second honeymoon. And of course Jen didn't blame them, not after all these years. Even so, it did seem funny, though not at all amusing, being here with just Jack. All these years, and Jen hadn't noticed it. The steady flood of people laughing and yelling and working had obscured the unutterable absence. But all day, as they were renewing the waterproofing charms on the outside of the house, or recasting the self-dusting charm that Jen had learned from her mother as a young girl, she had been overwhelmed by the emptiness of the place, by the utter lack of Bridget. It was only here, lying on Bridget's bed, staring at her own smiling face, Jack's and Bridget's, that Jen could feel a spark of her girlhood friend's presence. Jack snuggled up against her, his hand finding the no longer taut flesh of her belly. "Jen," he whispered, "it's been 20 years. Maybe it's time." "No," Jen said. Definitive as always, though she couldn't ever say why, though she knew that Jack was being reasonable. But even now, after all this time, a part of her knew absolutely that Bridget was still out there somewhere. Someone so amazing couldn't simply have died. As if reading her thoughts, Jack pulled her closer and whispered into her hair. "We searched everywhere, sweetheart. You know that. That morning. For weeks after. There was no sign. And no sign of her has ever turned up. Even if she'd lost her memory, or if she were hiding, something would have turned up." Jen shivered, but could not answer him. He had heard all of her arguments before, and had happily supported them. But they both knew that those reasons were far from reasonable, were in fact very Bridget-like in their reliance on faith over fact. "No one believes that Bridget cast the spell that killed her mom. But someone, or something, did." Jack's strong fingers, still agile after all these years, stroked her belly as if she were a colicky baby. "And whatever that thing was outside of the house?"
"Wasn't Bridget," said Jen.
"A bloody mass out in the yard, being pecked at by the chickens. Jen had found it when they had all come up, when Bridget hadn't shown up at the Wyvern for her own party. And the sight, the stench, had given her nightmares for years." Jack sighed. "Probably not. But still." She rolled swiftly on top of him and stared down. "One more year." He peered up at her quizzically. "If she hasn't turned up by her birthday, next Halloween, her 40th, if there isn't some new clue to where she is,
We can put the house on the market. And put up a headstone for her. One more year.